new numbers on global carbon emissions. From Marketplace in Washington, I'm Kimberly Adams in for David Brancaccio. Government officials, business leaders, and environmentalists from all over the world are in Bonn, Germany, hammering out the details of the Paris Agreement on climate change. New data out today is adding extra weight to those discussions. A report from the Global Carbon Project says carbon emissions are up 2% this year, heading to a record high. For more on this, I'm joined by Roger Harabin, an environment analyst with our partner, the BBC. Good morning.
Morning.
So last year, people were talking about carbon emissions maybe having plateaued after 2 years in a row of stalled emissions growth. What happened?
Well, what happened was China got economically active again and started burning more coal, that and other nations in Southeast Asia. That's what mainly happened. I mean, there was a very encouraging trend with a flattening off of emissions, but that was tied partly to the world economy. And now things have started to motor again. Emissions are on the way up. But the picture is not entirely pessimistic, I should say, because there's been a massive amount of renewables come online. The cost of solar and wind energy has plummeted far faster than anyone expected. And so it could be that that the emissions trend now, it may not be plateauing, but it may be, we hope, rising less fast than it was before. In other words, we may have a bit of time to sort things out before we're into the irreversible climate change.
And where does the United States sit in all of this?
Well, the US is now attempting to be uniquely the only sole country outside of the Paris Agreement. Even war-torn Syria has now signed up. President Trump said he thought that the accord was not fair to the US economy, would damage the US economy. But other people are saying exactly the opposite. So already you've had wildfires in California, which scientists say were not caused by climate change, but were made worse by it. And when I was in California last week, I talked to Jerry Brown, the governor, and his warning was that President Trump's attempt to row back on pollution controls for cars would actually rebound on him because it would leave the Chinese with a lead in electric cars, just as they already lead in wind power and with solar power. So there are real serious industrial concerns here, not just climate concerns.
Roger Harabin is an environment analyst with our partner, the BBC. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
And let's do the numbers. Germany's DAX is down about 0.5% this morning, about 71 points. The FTSE in London is up less than 0.1%. Japan's Nikkei is down about 300 points. That's about 1.3%. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are down this morning ahead of the U.S. market open. Through his foundation, Bill Gates has focused on cures for infectious diseases, reducing global poverty, promoting education, and sustainable energy. Now, Gates is getting into a new area, Alzheimer's, which affects more than 5 million Americans. Today, the philanthropist and founder of Microsoft announced that he is investing $50 million in the Dementia Discovery Fund to accelerate progress in tackling the disease. The investment is a personal one, not part of his foundation's work. David Brancaccio spoke with Gates about why he's getting involved now. Here's their conversation.
I think it's fair to say we've all been touched by this medical issue at one level or another. Why did it grab your attention personally?
Well, the mystery of why the various drugs haven't worked drew me in. Some of the men in my family have had this, and you know, I've seen the human tragedy of the disease. The idea that the more people we get engaged in this, the faster the research is going to go, including, I hope, to get some of the data organized so it's easier to see what's going on. You know, it's just a huge problem.
Let's talk about the role of data. You think this whole area is a little bit opaque?
Yeah, if you look at the success in things like heart disease, these data sets of understanding, you know, who is more susceptible and who wasn't, they made a big difference. With Alzheimer's, we have a lot of trial data, including the failed trials. We have long-term studies, really understanding the different factors that contribute, you know, how cognition goes along with various biological markers. A great data set will help the researchers.
I have asked versions of this question before, but I'm always interested. Is it a problem that a wealthy individual like yourself has to enter into the marketplace in this way?
Well, the success we've had in other disease areas like cancer, it involved a generous government R&D budget, lots of small startups, many of whom failed, and then big pharma. And unless you have all three of those things, you're not going to get there. And so we're starting to see each of those be improved. And you know, my role will be in high-risk investments and helping to organize the data.
Because as an entrepreneur, you're willing to tolerate some failure in this complicated area of research?
Sure, I can afford to take high risk. And you know, whichever company succeeds here, the payback will be good. That's not my primary motivation, but hopefully that's why we expect the level of investment to go up.
But I can hear it in your voice, this sense of optimism that Alzheimer's and some of the other dementias could be amenable to some kind of treatment. What is the source of this optimism?
Well, the tools we have to look at what's going on in the brain keep getting better and better. And our ability to look at genetics and understand why some people get it at an early age and what that says about the biological pathway, we are getting a lot smarter. Now, it's a long ways from that knowledge to having a drug. But our chance in the next 10 to 15 years of getting an advance, I'd rate it highly.
That was Bill Gates, philanthropist and founder of Microsoft, speaking to Marketplace's David Brancaccio. I'm Kimberly Adams with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.